at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're talking about an eschatological, theological, prophetic text and subject today. Are we living in the last days? I just talked about Marjorie Taylor Greene, the representative from the state of Georgia, that stood up and said no on the Genius Act, which is an act that opens the door for digital currency. I'm looking at a headline that says, or an article that says, on Wednesday, Marjorie Taylor Greene, representative, the political leader from the United States House of Representatives, we talked about that earlier, and she has said no on the Genius Act, which opens the door to bring in digital currency. Let me just read you another article on that subject. She says, "We do not want it." Marjorie Taylor Greene blames the House GOP leadership for the crypto bill failure. She says, Marjorie Taylor Greene against the House of Representatives leader Tuesday for allegedly blocking efforts to amend the Genius Act crypto-friendly bill that would establish a regulatory framework to bring in digital currency. She says further in the article, "Americans do not want government-controlled central bank digital currency," according to Marjorie Taylor Greene. That's just simply one of the indicators, ladies and gentlemen, that we're living in the last days, where we're setting the stage, the chessboard is being put in place, the chessmen's being put activity and action, ready to go into action, that is, as soon as the curtain is lifted and the Antichrist steps on the scene, as soon as the rapture of the church takes place. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's not just the cryptocurrency, it's not just the digital currency, it's just, not just that fact that is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing massive fires all over California. I think there's three or four of them that's burned several hundred thousand acres. We're witnessing earthquakes by the hundreds across the world. Recently, an 8.8 earthquake in Russia, several in recent weeks in America. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, we've just discovered that through the USAID, a fraudulent global money pit, if you will, where hundreds of millions of dollars were wasted, and it was being directed by the Socialist Marxist Communist Party, known as the Democrats, we've just discovered that some 14 deadly viruses were created, funded by American tax dollars back in the Wuhan, China lab, which was responsible for giving us COVID. So we're witnessing the famines. We're witnessing, as the scripture talks about in the last days, where there would be the signs of the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexities, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the last of the last days. And when you go to Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 and following, you'll find that the disciples had asked Jesus the question, what's going to happen? What are the signs? And he provides the signs. And I believe it is edifying for us to know what those signs are and not be paralyzed by them, but to be propelled into making decisions for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing good. Currency is a representation, the physical representation of the barter system. Mm-hmm. So if I work 2 hours, I can go into a butcher shop and say, I like this steak. I hand them my currency. I get my steak. What is occurring when you take that away, putting it into electronic form there, there's a possibility for disruption of that. I'll give you just two examples there. One's man-made, the other one is from God. Let's say we had something like the Carrington event in 1859. It was a solar flare so enormous that it triggered and activated all of the telegraph system across the entire continental United States, and some operators even got electrical shocks from it. They postulate that if this event occurred in today's time, that communications would instantaneously go down. A man-made event would be an electromagnetic pulse from a thermonuclear detonation in the high atmosphere. So those could be ruined and cause a downfall of a civilization quickly. But my question for you is in regards to James 5 and verse 4, where it says, look, the wages you have failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. So basically, these individuals that are going to institute this, if I get this correct, they will be held accountable whenever they take money from the rest of society. And is James 4 a warning in this regard? And is it, not only is it good for today, is it prophetical as well?
We could use it hypothetically for that, but in the context, it's not addressing that at all. James is talking to those that are wealthy. For example, he's just spoken about those that are coming into the church building, if you please, and those that are dressed well, those that are wealthy, will be seated in the better places, those that will not be seated in lower seats in the facilities, et cetera, et cetera. He is pointing out to those in that era, and it's applicable today, of how we ought not to show any difference between an individual, whether he's wealthy or not wealthy, and he's chiding and challenging and talking about those that have stolen the wages of those that are working in order to gain and get and gather and be more wealthy. He goes on to talk about in that fifth verse, as you said, you've lived pleasantly on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed, and just that the doth not resist you, etc., etc., etc. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience until he receive the early and the latter rains. It is telling the listener in that era and applicable today to be careful, to be patient. These evils take place, but God is still on the throne, and God's still going to reward his own. It's a wonderful, wonderful study, by the way, in the book of James. I have preached through that several times in the last less than 100 years. But one of the things, and you touched on the EMP potentiality, and that's the thing that not necessarily worries me, but concerns me. Do you know, and I'll talk about that further in the broadcast, that right now there is a coalition joint effort between China and Russia to build a nuclear device and plant it on the moon to generate electricity on the moon? Can you imagine in Revelation chapter 8, where it talks about something falling from the sky, a star falling from the sky, it hits the earth, and it poisons, causes wormwood, bitterness, for all of the potable water on the face of the earth to be that it would be undrinkable? I believe that we're witnessing today the coming together of nations, as the scripture talks about. Revelation chapter 9, we see the 200 million man army, which identifies only as China. We're witnessing today where Russia has said that they're no longer going to abide by the nuclear proliferation and international ballistic missile treaty. They're simply flexing their muscles. Russia is in bed with Iran. Iran is against Israel. Russia will lead a five-nation coalition in Ezekiel 38 and 39 against the nation of Israel. All of these things play into the fact that we're living in the last of the last days. Your thoughts?
Yeah. I would concur with those thoughts there, but what brought me to James 5, though, is if this digital currency does take place there, then in the hands of a very few individuals who represent the wealth, the politicians and the world order leaders and such would have control over all the wealth, and that's why that brought me back to that second part, woe to those who don't pay their wages there. So if I, like you said earlier, I don't vote a particular way, or I don't buy a particular brand of car, or I own a rifle, flip the switch, and Jimbo's got no cash.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, that's the way the Antichrist will control the world. That's the way if and when the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party goes back into control, that's the way they will control our nation today. I'm concerned about it, and I pray that all the others are concerned about it. Just got a little note. Chernobyl, for example, is in the Ukraine. It's the word for wormwood is also the name of the city and the plant scientifically known as Arsenia. It is absolutely talking about that which is disgustingly poisonous and dangerous, and I believe it's on the horizon. I personally do. Everything goes to digital currency, and right now, Jim, I'll say this and let you go. Right now, what's his name that heads up that department? I've got it in my notes, but they've just announced that we're going to be on the fast track in America to develop the nuclear, Duffy is his name, confirms the fast track plan to build nuclear reactor on the moon. Russia and China has already joined a coalition to do so. Now, America says that by 2030 we're going to have a nuclear reactor on the moon, and Russia and China has already said by 2035 they'll have a nuclear reactor on the moon. What can go wrong with that? What can go wrong with having nuclear material? A writer said just a few years ago that we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12,000 waste debris floating around in outer space, and if any one of those things were to get out of its orbit and head to Earth, it would destroy anything that we have called potable water in America and in fact, the globe. So we need to be very careful, and I think that all of these are things that are just signs of the last days that we're living in. Jim, brother, thank you so much for
your call.
Thank you, sir. God bless you as we're dismissed. Go to our next caller, that is. Santiago's on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Jumbo, God bless you. I have a question. I don't know if it's correct to call the raptured, because when you rapture somebody, it's with when they are not willing to go to anywhere. But I believe in the scripture say that we're going to cut up in the air with the one that we survived. I don't know if that is correct.
Santiago, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, we're suddenly seized, snatched out. The Latin word is rapturus. We get our English word rapture. The word rapture is not found in the scripture, but to be suddenly seized, caught up, to be snatched out is what the scripture talks about. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord, caught up, raptured, to be with the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the 18th verse in that text says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. So they understand that we're going to be snatched out of this old world before the 7 years of tribulation under the leadership of the Antichrist takes place should be comforting for every child of God in the realization and the recognition that the rapture shall take. And by the way, Santiago, that's the next thing on the calendar of God. There are no signs before the rapture. I tell people we need to stop looking for signs and listen for the sound, because the trumpet's going to sound, according to that text, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, the trumpet's going to sound, and we're going to be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. And it could happen before I finish the next sentence. It could happen before sundown. It could happen before the end of the day. So we need to be very, very careful with understanding of what we're seeing. We need to view it through a central biblicist worldview to see what God is saying and doing.
That's right. That's right. The Lord say, don't be caught with the turn virgins. Like the five, they will have oil in the lamps, and the other five, they don't have it. And we have to make sure that we have enough oil trained for our Lord. And thank you very much, God.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Santiago. What San Diego was just talking about, Santiago was just talking about, was in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 14, where's the 10 virgins. Half of them had the oil of the lamp, which is indication of the preparation through the Holy Spirit of the coming of the Lord, and five of them did not. They were not ready. And the Lord comes, and they're not ready. Start pleading with, give me some oil for my lamp, et cetera, et cetera. It's too late when that happens, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be prepared and ready even now. I believe we have Alan on the line. Alan, go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. It's been a while. I'm glad to talk to you. I know I don't have long. I'll try to make this quick. I was going to say the same thing as Santiago, rapture, or harpazo, to be caught up, as the rapture is not in our biblical canon. but the AI thing, man, the other gentleman was talking about, it's going to be it's going to be crazy. The star that you were mentioning, Wormwood, I don't know if this is how accurate it is, but there is an asteroid that is, they say, that is heading towards Earth. It's supposed to pass Earth 2029 within 13,000 miles, which is closer than a satellite. If it goes through this keyhole, this is interesting. It will come back and be a direct hit on Earth 7 years to the day on Friday the 13th at 1 p.m. It will pass by Earth 2029 on Friday the 13th. So I just kind of find that interesting that in the Bible where it says the seven-year tribulation. I don't know. I know it's coming, and there's a lot of people who believe in post-tribulation and then pre-tribulation. I tend to lean more towards pre, but I do have a question. The verse that you had just read where it says, those that are alive and remain, but would it remain be the key word? Remain from what? Would it be, is it talking about post-trib or?
Oh, no. In fact, in that text, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and following, it talks about the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and then we which are alive and remain. So you find those that are sleeping in Jesus and those that are serving in Jesus. In other words, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And by the way, when you look at the text, first is protos, priority number one, but it's almost simultaneous, because according to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 50 and following, it will be in the twinkling of an eye. And so it's not the batting of the eye, but when the glistening, you look at a person out in the sunshine and the eyeball is moist and they turn just slightly and it's a little glisten, that's how quickly the rapture is going to take place.
I have one more question.
Go ahead.
What the mark of the beast, I've debated this before with others, and they're like, well, what if I take the mark and then God forgive, so I can just be saved again? Well, I was praying about it, and I kind of was given an understanding, and then researching in scripture, if you take the mark, it's a final rebellion against God, and you're choosing to trust the government or the world above Christ, because during the tribulation, there will be people that are saved, that come to salvation through Jesus. They will have to die as a martyr and pay for it with their own blood, but they will become saved. But is that mark, is that why they can't be saved? Is because somehow that mark that they take, because it says boils and sores were given to those who took the mark, so would that not maybe cause a change on the DNA structure at a cellular level to change them into a being that is no longer redeemable by the blood of Christ, because Jesus died for humans?
It wouldn't have that connotation. Let me just back up and give a little overview there. During the days of the tribulation, God will have 144,000 virgin male Jewish evangelists preaching the everlasting gospel. The tribulation is designed, first 3.5 years, some call it the tribulation, the great tribulation, first 3.5 years is the tribulation where God is bringing his judgment on a world that said no to Jesus Christ. The last 3.5 years focus will be on the Jewish people, that they will recognize Yeshua Messiah and get saved. And Zechariah chapter 12, verse 7 and following validates that in the heaviest days of the tribulation, when it looks as though the Jewish people will be totally annihilated, eviscerated, they will recognize Yeshua Messiah, whom we, they say, have slain, and will receive him as Savior. The purpose of the tribulation is to pour God's wrath, W-R-A-T-H, spelled thumos, white hot anger. In other words, God gets ticked off during the days of the tribulation, to pour out his white-hot anger on a Christ-rejecting, Bible-denying, God-hating society. The Christian, is God has no wrath that's going to be poured out. God's anger, his judgment, has already been mitigated for the Christian through Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. He has taken God's wrath for us, so there won't be any wrath. So going back to the days of the tribulation, the largest, greatest, most recognizable revival the world has ever seen will take place during the days of the tribulation, with the overwhelming majority of those being Jewish people, and they will be martyred for their faith. That's the reason in Revelation chapter 6, you see the martyred saints under the throne of God, indicating saved and protected, dressed in white. They're asking the question, how long, O God, before we will be vindicated in our martyrdom? And he says, a little while longer, a few more must be martyred. And that martyrdom will be those that say yes. But now going back, let's say that a person is listening to the broadcast today. They're not saved. They say, I'm going to wait and see if this tribulation takes place. I'm going to wait and see if the rapture takes place. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and following, you find those that have believed the lie, they've been deceived, and they will be, their eyes will be blinded, and they cannot get saved. It's not a matter of a person saying, well, I'll get saved when I want to. Absolutely no. If the Holy Spirit is willing, the Holy Spirit is drawing, and the person says no, it might shut off that opportunity forever being an opportunity to be saved. So Christian people will get saved, become Christian during the days of the tribulation, but it will be mostly Jewish people hearing the gospel being preached. Those that have never heard the gospel, Matthew chapter 24, verse 14 and 15, after these things, then, that is after the gospel has been spread around the whole world, the worldwide gospel will go out during the days of the tribulation. Right now, there are dozens and dozens and dozens of places on the face of the globe where it's never had the gospel, never heard about Jesus.
Right.
They will hear about Jesus in that time and will be able to be saved. It is a wonderful
study. So you're
saying
people that are on the earth now, that, I mean, if they miss the rapture, and they're like, oh my gosh, I thought I was saved, but they miss it. You're saying they don't have a second chance at redemption, even though they knew Jesus, but they did not walk in their faith?
No. It's not a matter of knowing and not walking. If a person is saved, blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, he'll be caught up in the rapture. Might be living a wretched life away from Christ, but if he's truly been saved, just like I say with Marjorie Taylor Greene, she says she's a Christian, but she's got a potty mouth. I don't know whether or not she's saved. I don't know. President Trump may be saved, but he's got a potty mouth. The bottom line is, if a person is truly saved, they will not be here during the tribulation. If they're truly saved, if they're not saved, there will not be a chance to say, well, you know, by the way, that brings to mind, you might remember the old video series on the 8-track called Left Behind. That Left Behind series was a wonderful, intriguing video, but it was 1,000% incorrect theologically and doctrinally speaking.
Really?
It pointed out that here's mom and dad, they left an 8-track, and they've been taken out now in the rapture. The son and the daughter, the teenagers, get on their knees before the television. They watch that video that mom and dad's left, talking about the rapture of the church, etc., and they pray and ask Jesus to come in their hearts, and they get saved. That's an absolute deceitful lie.
Wow.
It is not biblical whatsoever. If you've heard the gospel and you reject the gospel and you say no, God will allow your heart to be deceived and hardened, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 2 and following, that you will not be saved. It is a dangerous thing to say no to the gospel when there's an opportunity, when that heart is tender, when there's that pull of the Holy Spirit to say yes to Jesus, and they don't, because we don't ever know when that line will be crossed, it'll be too late.
No. We don't. I just thought that people that have heard the gospel and maybe they've not accepted it, but they know. And then once the rapture happens, that would be like a thing that would finally, oh my gosh, it was right. It was true. And then
Alan, the problem with that is a person says, well, I'm just waiting. I'm not going to get saved now. I'm going to live the devil now, and then if I see the rapture take place, I'll then believe it. No, if you don't believe it now, if the work of the Holy Spirit is being spurned now, there will not be an opportunity after the rapture. So it deserves our prayer.
Millions, but what about when the millions of people see car crashes over the entire face of the planet, and there no drivers are found, all the children are taken under the age of accountability? And I mean, that it's going to shock the world and rock the world, and then the Antichrist rises from that calms the chaos.
Absolutely. And by the way, you mentioned that, and I'm reminded, I've got a book, a manuscript I'm working on that. It's in its fifth or sixth edition that's called The Rapture of the Church, The Rapture Debate Resolved. And in that book, I'll deal with, and I'm prayerful that it will be out in September. In that book, I'm dealing with the very questions that you're asking about what happens after the rapture, what are the signs of the rapture, what should we do, and can a person be saved after the rapture of the church takes place. So I would challenge anybody that's listening. Yes, I would challenge anybody that's listening to be saved while there's opportunity, while God gives the wisdom, the insight, and the opportunity, say yes to Jesus Christ before it's eternally too late. Alan, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Thanks, brother.
God bless you. God bless you today. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh, the scripture tells us. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, are we living in the end times? Let me just read you a paragraph of this writer. The Bible prophesies many events that will occur in the end times. These events are categorized as natural signs, spiritual signs, sociological signs, technological signs, and political signs. We can look to what the Bible says about these things, and if the signs are present in abundance, we can be certain that we are, in fact, living in the end times. And that's what I'm trying to impress upon us today. We're witnessing these facts. I'm looking at a major, major article that says, the world sets a record, 396 earthquakes larger than 5.0 in the last 30 days alone. Let me read that again. The world sets the record, 396 earthquakes larger than 5.0 in the last 30 days alone. We're witnessing, ladies and gentlemen, the intensification and the amplification of the signs that God's given us in His Word of the fact that we're living in the last of the last days. We're witnessing that with pestilences and diseases. It calls my attention to what I touched on earlier. USAID quietly sent thousands of viruses to China military linked to the biolab, ordered 11,000 samples moved from the province of Wuhan, which was the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic, with no apparent plan to ensuring the samples were not misdirected to be bioweapons in the hands of the Chinese. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing these things all coming together and the realization that we are in the last days. I'm looking at a headline. U.S. is shocked. United States is shocked. China and Russia 2028 plan to build a nuclear reactor on the moon, and it stuns the global space community. And it talks about the China and Russia coalition. It talks about the fact that we in America are doing the same thing. What are we doing? We're speeding up the exponential last of the last days before the rapture of the church takes place. Ladies and gentlemen, I wrap up with these words. If you're not ready, get ready. If you've not said yes to Jesus Christ, do it now while there is opportunity to do so. Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
An emergency message from the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews.
The enemies of Israel have hit hard. It's cities and people with a massive attack.